This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Roxo Media House.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 71. Jack Ladder's our guest, but it's also spring training episode one that's going to be coming in here. And spring training this year is brought to you by Premier Properties. Rangers Today's coverage is brought by Premier Properties. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, lease, or have someone lease your property for you, Premier Properties is the place for you. They've been serving DFW for over 30 years. Plus, they manage my property, so I should know. If you have real estate needs, call them at 972-298-4000. That's 972-298-4000. Or you can go to the website. It's swdallasrealty.com. That's SW, like Southwest, dallasrealty.com. Premier Properties, your Main Street realtor. Big thanks to them. Jeff, you are in Arizona, and you are coming to us from, where are you at?
I am at Surprise Stadium. There's a college baseball tournament going on, so you're gonna hear some cheers and some PA announcements maybe throughout this this episode. But it's a 4-team tournament. Oregon State always here. This is like Surprises of the spring home of the Oregon State Beavers, as well as the Texas Rangers and Kansas City Royals. They're playing New Mexico. Minnesota plays UCSB, which is the college home of one Michael Young. So anyway, all the radio booths are taken. And okay. So I'm stuck here in this nice thing, suite. I'd rather be in the suite than in the radio booth, to tell you the truth. Radio booth's real small, whereas this I can spread out, and I got plenty of room for Jack when he comes on later. So I'll take it. But yeah, Surprise Stadium. I'm looking out at the field. Would like to show you guys, but I figured it'd be too much of a distraction.
Yeah, let's. Yeah, I know exactly where you are as far as up. If you're up in one of the suites, I remember seeing them there the last couple of years. But you know, we're here now. Before we get Jack on, let's talk about some of the big league stuff that's gone on. Tell us what this is the first time we did go the other night for about an hour and had about 50 somewhere around 50 people that came on for a little live show. We'll do that again maybe Sunday night or something. Let's talk. What have you seen? Obviously, DeGrom looked good, right? Or what's going on with him? Or he's down for the season? I can't remember. What is it?
Yeah. He's going to be fine. I believe. You know, it's Friday. It's the 17th. So today was day three of spring training, and he was, as everybody is aware, scratched from his first bullpen session on the first day, which would have been Wednesday. He said he had some tightness in his left side something that I think we can all attest to having at some point. Just we're not getting paid what he's getting paid to get major league outs. So the Rangers just said, nope, the weather was crappy, cold. It had hailed and rained really hard the night before, just not very good conditions to try to push through something. So they said, the heck with it, we're not going to do it. And, of course, the alarms went off in New York and Port St. Lucie, Florida, where the Mets have their spring training. And really they kind of went off here too. And in Arlington, I'd assume, but talking to him the next day, which was Thursday, he's like, nothing is wrong. Yeah, he said, I've had six bullpens. I felt it a little bit while I was warming up at short distance, but at long distance, I don't feel it at all. But it makes sense. Why on day one would you try to push through anything? And that goes for anybody.
It was really cold too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was ice cold. I'm not kidding you. It was terrible. And so anyway, he didn't do anything. And it looks like, this is Friday, by the time this is out, Sunday, hopefully, maybe tomorrow, Saturday, not to put any pressure on Joel, but Sunday, there's a good chance he's going to throw. He went through a full upper body workout today and felt no pain. Feels fine. So, again, it's a minor thing that has been blown up into a giant thing because he is Jacob DeGrom, and he left the New York market for Texas.
Yeah, and there was one story, I think Heyman might have wrote it, or the New York Post, and the headline of the story would have read, like, he's out for the season. Already, he's out for the season. And then you read it, and look, Chris Young said it, DeGrom said it. If this were a start and a game, he'd have made the start.
Right.
Not even, there wasn't even a question. He would have just made the start.
He threw a bullpen session at home with it. So, yeah. I mean, he didn't think it was a big deal. But,
no.
Maybe in hindsight, maybe the Rangers should have just said, you know what, he's not going to pitch until Saturday. You know?
Yeah.
We've got our schedule made out, and you know, his turn is Saturday, and it could have avoided this thing. But anyway, it is what it is, and I think he's going to be just fine, and that this time next week when we shoot another episode, we'll be talking about what it's like to watch a Jacob DeGrom bullpen session.
Yeah. And for y'all that can't tell, this is weird. I am all alone in studio. And Jeff is on the Zoom call coming in from Arizona. But it's strange to be in our nice studio here all by myself. So, you know,
yeah.
I might risky business it later, run around with no one here. I don't know what I'll do. So nobody's there. So let's ask this. So have you followed Bochy around since you've been there the last 3 days? Anybody else stick out to you? Tell me what you've seen so far.
Sure. You know, I did make it a point to watch the manager. He hasn't been around in the game for 3 years, and I'd never seen him at a practice, you know, and it's pretty interesting to see. I mean, he's not barking orders or doing anything like that. He's just observing, but from where he observes is interesting. He's like right as close as you can get to the furthest rubber to either side. So he'll stand really close, and he'll watch this group pitch. Then he'll mill around and walk around, and then go stand on the other side and watch. So while he's not saying anything, he's saying stuff. I mean, Bruce Bochy standing right there is an attention getter.
Sure.
And, I wrote a story on Cole Wynn today, and the photo I took, Bruce Bochy is right behind him, looking at him. So, I mean, he is in full watch mode. He is trying to take in as much as he can. And you know, this first week, leading in even before games, nobody can make the team. Nobody's being evaluated. They've told the pitchers to take it easy. And while you know that it's a cliche that you can't make the team on the first day, but you can find your way off the team the first day if you hurt yourself. So it's guys who are going through their work. Nobody's been injured. So it's good news on that front. But yeah, I've tried to watch the manager for sure.
Yeah, I tell you what, and for the, you know, it's pitchers and catchers there now, but you know, I was amazed last time, just for minor leaguers at that point when you and I went last year, but the way they get out and do their workouts in the morning, guys, you don't realize how many catchers are in this organization. There are a lot of them that get out that are doing work that you know the names, you know the certain names, that but there are a ton of catchers in the organization that do that. Any position players you see walking around out there yet or doing anything?
Sure. They report Monday the 20th, so that's the day of their, or not report, but the day of the first workout is the 20th. I think they've kind of done away with like the report date thing.
Right.
It's kind of weird. Somebody told me, don't really worry about that anymore. It's just be there on the 20th. So anyway, there are position players here. Corey Seager showed up today on Friday the 17th here. Josh Jung has been here. Bubba Thompson has been here. Josh Smith has been here. I saw Dustin Harris. I've seen Justin Foscue, Blaine Crim. The young guys and the non-roster guys, John Ornelas, who I didn't mention him. So there are a lot of young guys here. Veterans, not so much. Mark Mathias, I guess he's not a veteran. He's a young guy. No Adolis Garcia, no Marcus Semien yet. But they will be here. No Nate Lowe. The catchers of course are here. Huff, Garver, Heim, as far as being on the 40 man is concerned. So, Leody Taveras also was here today. So, they'll start getting into the swing of things. The guys who are getting here a couple days early, getting their bearings straight. I'd imagine that as, Saturday arrives and Sunday arrives, that pretty much everybody's here.
Okay. All right. Well, I got to ask this because he's in camp. You alluded to it the other day, but Greg Maddux is there.
Run around
his brother. You wrote about the hole in one that happened. That was a great thing that you wrote about. That it still ticks. I just say MF-er is what I say when someone gets a hole in one. I've gotten close so many times, and it always end up at least 4 feet away. I've hit the pin and then end up 8 feet away. You know how that goes. But Greg Maddux, any interaction with him? Has he said anything to you, or does he know you?
Oh, he when Mike Maddux was pitching coach for the Rangers the first time around, Greg was actually, I believe he was hired as a special assistant. And he would come to spring training, and the year he went to the Hall of Fame was 2014, and he was here, and I remember being nervous asking him for his phone number so I could do a story later on him toward Cooperstown. Greg, funny guy. They are really really funny dudes. And Greg and Mike, they pretty much play golf every day. Afterward, Mike, as I wrote, he registered his 10th career hole in one Wednesday.
Number 10.
It's unbelievable. And Greg has 6. It's crazy that somebody would have 10 holes in one. Well, Mike had 2-in-1 round once during the 2019 playoffs during an off day. He had 2 holes in one in the same day, and he didn't keep the ball. He lost the ball. He kept playing with the ball, and he ended up losing it. I asked him. I said, "Well, do you have all the balls from these holes in one?" He's like, "No, I don't. I don't know where most of them are." He kept playing. He played 18. The hole in one the other day was on 17. He played 18 with it. So, I guess it's just not a big deal anymore.
I would have it mounted on the wall. I've been with 2 people that have hit hole in ones. One of them was my best friend who sucks at golf, and he hit one right in front of me. And then a woman who had never really hardly played before. And it was the second hole. It was a par 3, and she hit it into a thing, and it rolled all the way up. It was like about a 90-foot putt that went all the way up and in. And I was looking at 2 people that I could beat 10 out of 10 times on a golf course, not that I'm any good, and I've seen 2 hole-in-1s. So, MF-er is the word that I'm going to use every time someone has 10. That's just not even fair.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're good golfers. I mean, they're not lucky, and they play a lot, so...
Yeah.
But anyway, Greg has been here. He has been interacting with the pitchers. He was talking to Lucas Jacobson, who was in camp on a minor league deal, and just kind of pulled him aside had noticed that he throws a sinker, and Greg was like, well, have you ever thought about throwing it inside? And Lucas was like, I just don't know if I can do that. And so apparently Greg, according to Lucas, Greg took him right through how to throw it, gave him some tips on how to turn his body and all this stuff. So, you know, everybody has talked about leading up to it, how Greg would help Rangers fielders, because, you know, he won 18 gold gloves. He can help in a lot of other ways. Not only did he win 18 gold gloves, he won 354 games. So I think that there's a lot of knowledge for him to pass around. And, you know, you see these guys, their energy is different. You know, they're funny guys. They like to keep things loose. They'll be serious when they have to. But
yep.
I think, you know, you're just talking to the guys. They're really enjoying having Mike as the pitching coach, and then Greg here for, I don't know, probably about 15 more days.
Yeah, well, you know, and Greg had one of the best lines, and I said it the other night. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. He was doing an interview, and someone was asking, there's a little group of pitchers, and they said, who's the easiest guy you ever faced? And Greg Paddock said that it was Barry Bonds. And he goes, Barry Bonds, no question. And they were like, Bonds? He goes, yeah, there was nobody on base, I'd just walk him. I'm sorry, but that good pitchers aren't worried about perfect games like that. I mean, his thing was to last.
And he never threw a no-hitter. He threw a bunch of one-hitters.
Yeah.
He threw one that I remember against the Astros. The only hit was a Jeff Bagwell home run. You know, I saw him pitch a game in Mile High Stadium, not Coors Field. This is before the Rockies had moved into their stadium. It was the last year of Mile High.
Yeah.
And he gave up at altitude in a complete game shutout. He gave up two infield singles.
Oh, my God.
It was one of the best games I've ever seen pitched. And so the guy knows what he's doing. And, you know,
threw 88 miles an hour.
Mike's career gets really overlooked. Mike pitched in the major leagues for a long damn time.
Like 14 years, right?
Mike was a good pitcher. Mike was a good relief pitcher. And teams wanted him, and with good reason. He pitched a long time.
And that's how he's kept in the game. He's been a hell of a pitching coach, too.
Yeah, very good. You know, Cy Young winners and World Series appearances, playoff appearances. I mean, the guy knows what he's doing. So, you know, we talked about Bruce Bochy just a minute ago. That's a big deal. Mike Maddux is a very big deal. And I think the two of them together are gonna be on the same page pretty much all the time, and that's gonna help the pitching staff too.
Have they named an actual hitting coach, or what is it? Is it Ecker? I mean,
well, Tim Hyers has always been the hitting coach. You know, Donnie Ecker is bench coach / offensive coordinator.
And Venables is there too.
Venables is there too, right?
Will Venable is here. He's the associate manager. So basically, he's going to handle most of the bench coach duties. Donnie will have some, but he focuses on the hitting a lot during the game. I think Corey Ragsdale and Bobby Wilson will do some things too. But it's offense coordinator, Donnie Ecker, hitting coach, Tim Hyers. Okay. And, you know, Tim, when the Rangers hired him away from Boston, a very successful hitting coach in his own right. So there's you know, the offense was really good last year. It really was. It just needed to be a little bit better against the really good teams.
Well, that'll be interesting to watch as those players come in and they start full workouts. When do you get back?
I will be back a week from today, the 24th. You know, if everything goes right, maybe we can do another show while I'm here, kind of in this format, and then figure out what to do while we're in while I'm back, and then we'll
be set up for our trip.
Yeah, we'll do another one when we get here. So, I mean, it's spring training. It's great. You know, I've said it a lot. I love spring training. It's just it was the family vacation every year from fourth grade until my senior year of high school. Coming from Colorado, where we didn't have baseball at the time, as before the Rockies existed, we had WGN and we're Cubs fans, and we had TBS, and we're Braves fans, and never made it over to Florida for spring training because we could drive to Arizona a little easier than we could drive to Florida. But I just love it here. The weather's been a little bit chilly, but it's going to be great this weekend. And know, this is this to me, this is the best time of the year. I guess I'm like a NASCAR schedule. My Super Bowl is the first part of the season, but this is a really good time, and I can't encourage people enough to come out here. I mean, it's just great.
Me neither. I'm like I said, and we'll be out there the 8th through the 13th. We'd love to meet all of you that go, you know, point out and do that, and maybe even have a beer. Who knows afterwards when we go out to go have a beer with some of you guys. But listen, right now, though, what we need to do is take a break and bring Jack Leiter on right after this. Anything else before I do that?
No, let's get Jack in here and pick his brain, see what's going on in his world, and then get him out of here and go down to the bus leagues and put a wrap on this one.
Put a wrap on it. All right, guys, we'll be back right after this with Jack Leiter. Rangers Today spring training coverage is brought to you by Premier Properties. Whether you're buying, selling, leasing, or have someone manage your real estate, Premier Properties is the place for you. They've been serving the DFW area for over 30 years, plus they manage my property, so I should know. If you have any real estate needs, call them at 972-298-4000. That's 972-298-4000. Or go to swdallasrealty.com. That's SW, like Southwest, dallasrealty.com. That's Premier Properties, your Main Street realtor. All right, guys, and joining us right now from Arizona, he's sitting with Jeff Wilson up there in Surprise right now. It's Texas Rangers right-handed pitcher Jack Leiter. He's already been a friend of the show before, but now we got him here in person. Jack, what's going on, bud?
How's it going? Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's all good. We're sitting here, you know, this sweet one, like I was saying earlier, and it is pretty nice. It's a good view, and we're watching an upset in the making here at the College Baseball Classic as New Mexico is putting it to Oregon State. So, you know, big college baseball fan over here right now. TCU and Vanderbilt are playing each other at Globe Life Field. So, Jack and I have not wagered on that yet, but I don't know that we
will. How are the Vandy boys doing?
I haven't been able to check the score yet, but the team overall looks really good this year, so I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, tell you, you're talking about the center fielder. I've already forgotten his name, but you think he's like a top 10 guy.
Yeah, Enrique Bradfield Jr. I think he's been destined to be a top guy since he got on campus 2 years ago, but that was my last year, was his freshman year. And that year playing SEC baseball, I could pretty much tell, you know, who the top couple picks were going to be just around the league, and he was definitely one of them.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, the Rangers there at number four. Maybe he moves up. Maybe they get a center fielder. You know, they can never have enough guys up the middle. At least I think that's what they say.
Well, you can't ever have enough Vanderbilt guys.
That's right. That'd be 3 straight years. That'd be pretty unprecedented. What? How was today? You had you did throw, correct? Yeah. How was bullpen number two of spring camp?
It was good. Yeah, I got out here last Wednesday and then threw one Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week. So we've been able to touch the mound a lot, and it feels good. I feel like it was a super productive off season, and I'm excited to, you know, see how things stack up.
All right, what made the off season productive? What did you take from last season that you wanted to work on and put to work this off season?
Yeah, for me it was a lot of the little things. I've always just I've always been a worker, and I think at times that can kind of come back and bite me a little bit, and can try to overdo things and do too much at times. And I think that's sort of the story of last year and first professional season. Obviously, there's adjustments for everybody, but that's kind of the main takeaway. And there were certain things in my routine in terms of just like the meals I was eating and things like that that I'm looking into and adjusting. And I really feel good about the preparation and sort of how this off season went, and kind of split it up into sections, I guess, this off season. And the first part of the off season was just a focus on my body, and that was some dietary stuff and in the weight room. I was able to really get after it and put on some weight and some muscle, and that was huge for me. And then after that, it was mechanical. There were some mechanical things that I look back to, you know, when I was at my best, and then when I wasn't at my best, and sort of those kind of adjustments. And that was a big focus. And then obviously towards the end of the off season, it's getting ready to go and honing in the pitches, honing in the command and everything that comes with it. So I think overall it was a super efficient and productive off season.
So how does diet help a pitcher?
Well, I think it's, that part's pretty simple in terms of last year I left spring training at about 205 pounds, which is a good weight for me. And at the end of the season, I was about 192 pounds, I think, when I got to Vanderbilt. So it was well over 10 pounds, maybe 13, 15 pounds that I lost throughout the season. And that all has to do with, you know, sleep schedule, dietary stuff. And it's not a huge adjustment, but those little adjustments, same with the mechanics, there's no huge adjustments being made, but those little adjustments make all the difference.
So are you eating more? Do you need to eat more?
Yeah, I always need to eat. I always need to eat more. My sisters joke around like, you're so lucky. Like, if you don't eat like an absurd amount, you're losing weight. And we would love that problem. Like, as you know, yeah, as my sisters. But yeah, that's the problem that I've always had is my best weight from a pitching standpoint is probably a little bit heavier than what my body just naturally sits at. Mm-hmm. So I have to kind of overconsume calories and especially with the active lifestyle we live.
Well, they've got to be good calories. You can't eat like a gallon of ice cream.
No. But I mean, yeah,
I can.
Yeah, so. You can, but you're not going to look like him.
No, of course not.
So looking back at your season, now that it's over, now that it's 6 months over, what are the positives you take out of that? I mean, you made every start except for maybe a one during that little stretch there.
Yeah, but that wasn't an injury. They just held it.
Stuff was good. So what positives do you get out of last season?
Again, I think just like the learning experiences, those kind of add up in your baseball career. And pretty much everyone that I, you know, think of as close to me and people whose opinions I really care about, they all said in the moment, you know, this is good for you. Everybody struggles. Those are the moments where you learn the most. You don't learn the most from, you know, the dominating months or seasons. And in the moment, you don't want to hear that. It's just continuing to work and work out the kinks and try to figure it out. But as you settle down in the off season and you get to work, you can kind of look back and think to those moments, and it is good in the long run. But yeah, in terms of the individual positives, I think health was one. That's something that you work through in your first professional season. You kind of hit that wall at the end of what would have been the college season, about, you know, whatever it is, 18 starts in, and then you realize you're not even halfway done yet or whatever it is. So it's an adjustment in terms of, again, just routine and that side of the mindset, I guess, is an adjustment, and it was all learning. So all right. I think that's a huge positive.
So you had the leadership deal that they had at Globe Life Field. I almost said park, which is now Choctaw Stadium. So all these stadium names, but you said keep it simple. Is that the focus this year?
Yeah, I think everything kind of comes along when I keep it simple. That was the mechanical adjustment, really, was just simplifying everything, condensing it, and making it more efficient. And at times I kind of overdid things and got, you know, overstriding. My arm path got a little longer, just trying to do more. And that isn't my recipe for success. It might work for some people, but for me, when I think less is more, actually more does really happen. And the stuff ticks back up, and, you know, the velocity might have been there last year, but the shape on my fastball was kind of different than what I like to see. And now this off season with those small mechanical adjustments, it's come back, and I'm happy to see that.
We talked a couple times during the season. I went out to Frisco a couple times, but at one point when we spoke, it was via text and you were on an airplane, and it was after the Rangers had made their first round pick in the draft. Your good friend, Kamar Rocker, how much did that fire you up? It seemed like a big deal for you.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. Obviously someone that we competed together and had a lot of success together. That's an exciting thing for both of us. Mm-hmm. New organizations, you know, coming in last year, I obviously didn't know anybody. So that was like a bit of an overwhelming experience in terms of just coming into a spring training as the, you know, and a high draft pick from the year before. It's kind of like everybody knows your face and your name, but you're kind of trying to get to know everybody as quick as you can. And having familiar faces is always great. And obviously coming into spring this year, there were a lot more familiar faces to me, but I think to him to have, you know, a former teammate, and then he had the fall league. So I think he's settling in well.
What kind of, we all seen the highlights of him from college and everything. Just how, what is the stuff like? I mean, what, how, it just seems like it's a big presence on the mound and he wants to destroy you.
Yeah, I think it all, I think it all boils down to just being a competitor. And I think anyone can learn from watching him compete just because of that. I would say the style of pitching is always evolving. I think it's different now than it was in college. I don't remember him having a sinker like he has now, and he has a really good one now and a changeup that he really loves. So it's a, you know, it's a different style, but the same competitor. And that's really cool. And he's super confident up there. So it's fun to watch.
All right. Because of the lockout last year, you were like invited to big league spring training, but it never happened because you guys had to get on your march to the season. So now you are in the clubhouse. I know it's only been a few days, but so far, what is that experience like for you?
Yeah, it's an awesome experience being in big league camp just for these few days. Everybody's been so nice, from the staff to the players, and I think they do a really good job, you know, making the young guys feel welcome, and it's sort of special. And you can kind of see that everybody in the organization from the top down, now you see it from the top, but you've seen it from the minor league levels, that everybody has that vision of winning and winning soon, and hopefully winning a lot for a long time. So it's pretty clear, everybody, watching everybody go about their business and kind of, you know, compete just in bullpens, I think is a special experience.
So as a guy who's an up and coming prospect and the number two overall pick in the draft 2 years ago, what do you think when the Rangers signed Jacob DeGrom, Andrew Heaney, Nathan Eovaldi?
I think that's awesome. I think anyone who thinks otherwise is just thinking wrong, because obviously everybody has their own self-confidence, and you know, you just have to do what you need to do. And that's like we talked about this offseason, kind of keeping it in segments and one day at a time, just trying to get better. And your own self-confidence tells you, you know, once you get to the point where you want to be and continue to improve from there, nobody's better. So it's pretty awesome to have the organization surrounding these extremely experienced, really, really talented big league pitchers coming in, and just watching them work is awesome.
I mean, Jacob DeGrom is he might be the best pitcher in the world.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you watched him in college and in high school. I mean, right there, you know, in New Jersey, and he was pitching for the Mets. So or have you had a chance to talk to him yet, or do you want anything you want to bounce off of him?
Yeah, I think the number one thing with a guy like that, who, you know, when it's all said and done, could be in the conversation for the best pitcher of all time, is just watching and just listening to what he has to say, seeing him walk around the clubhouse, and eventually once he gets going and seeing his routine and just the way he goes about things, it's always cool to watch somebody that successful just go about their business and see what they do maybe a little bit differently than others, and how they approach things, how they think of things, just casual conversations, casual baseball talk. I've had the chance to, you know, talk to him a little bit, and he's a super nice guy from what I've gathered, and I'm excited to, you know, just observe.
I think he's going to really flourish in this media market, you know, because he talked to the media the other day, and you know, there were four of us, and I was like, if you were still with the Mets, how many people would be around you? And he was like, a lot more than this. I just think, you know, and even this little injury that he had, you know, the New York media took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I just think it does everybody a little bit of good. Not that he couldn't hack it, because obviously he won two Cy Youngs with the Mets, but I think it's a big load off, but that's just me. We'll see. All right. So you know how this goes. I ask you the mind-bending baseball questions, and then John here mixes it up with fun stuff. So it's time for the fun stuff. John, let's go.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm the guy that broke the peanut butter story. Are you kidding me? He had to receive some crap on that one. They were laughing at that one. In fact, your mom and sisters talked to me when your first start. I sat over by them, and I didn't realize that was them. Well, I knew your dad was there, and they had heard that, and they said, "Oh yeah, as a kid, we couldn't get him to, you know." Anyway, we'll go from there. I want to go. This last year, you spent the entire season in Frisco. I like to have fun with talking about your teammates, and you get to tell me which one is this and that. So, what teammate last year was basically the funniest guy in the clubhouse? Who was cracking you up?
We had some good personalities in that clubhouse. I think Tim Brennan is a really funny guy. Jonathan Ornelas has a really good outgoing personality, and he was one of my roommates, so I spent a lot of time with him. But honestly, the list can go on. Everybody had some really good personalities with some good humor.
What did Blaine Crim say Ornelas' nickname is? Juicy? Is that what, right?
Yeah, Juice, I think.
Juice?
I don't know. He might have given that himself.
He's got some flow, man.
I tell you. Okay, who's the best dressed? Who's the sharp one?
If we're talking shoes, I got to stay with Ornelas. I don't consider myself a very stylish person. And there was one point where he was like, "You got to step up your shoe game." And I was like, you know, I'll give you a budget and you pick me out some shoes that are cool. So he actually helped me out. So I would have to say him.
All right. Athleisure wear, like you're kind of dressed nice and casual here. That's the way to go. I don't want to dress.
Oh my gosh.
I have no desire for that.
Yeah, you got to be way more comfortable. I don't blame you. I mean, you've just gone out there and exerted a lot of calories, man. You need to be comfortable at the end of the game. All right, who's got all right, if you had to get in a street fight, something happened, who's the guy you want standing next to you? Who's got your back?
2022 teammates.
Yes. Oh, you can talk about someone now if they scare you.
It's tough to pick just one, but I think Watley's a good one. I think Watley would throw himself at somebody. He always said if anybody tried to charge the mound, he wouldn't get there. So I think that's pretty cool.
Matt Watley, by the way, his wife had a baby. He's not in camp, so congratulations to Watley's.
Oh man, that's great. Watley's very popular.
The better, yeah.
He's very popular too. I've always liked Matt. He's a good guy. The pitchers love him. So Hey, so who's the – was there a prankster on the team that was doing a lot of pranks? Anybody that was a big prankster?
Not that I can think of. Maybe just some, like, childish kind of things. But there was nothing that stuck out to, like, that guy was a prankster.
So there wasn't, like, a big prank you remember or anything that was funny or
– No. Not that I can think of.
Or that he can say. Maybe he can't say it.
That's right.
All right, we'll get a couple of more just for fun. So anything you're binge-watching right now? You do Netflix or any of that? Anything you're binge-watching?
Yeah, I'm watching The Last of Us, which comes out once a week.
How is that? I've been actually interested in that. Is that good?
It's a cool concept and kind of creepy because it somewhat seems like not that level, but something like it could be. A possibility in the future, which is a little bit creepy to think about, but
it's like a virus, right?
It's a virus that kind of it's sort of like zombies, but it's mainly just like this virus that adapted and can live in humans. But I don't know. I like those like kinds of serious shows. Breaking Bad was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones was my favorite, and I'm honestly looking for something like that. So if there are any recommendations.
The Wire.
If you loved Breaking Bad, you'll love The Wire.
Okay.
It's on HBO.
HBO.
Yeah. I mean, it's an older series, but it was.
You'll laugh at the cell phones and stuff that are older,
and they still have like pay phones. You know, when was the last time you saw a pay phone? But anyway, it's great.
Yeah, The Wire is really good.
What's his name? Idris Elba. He's in it. A young Michael B. Jordan is in it, believe it or not.
Yeah,
he gets
whacked. Yeah, I'm always open to new show recommendations.
There you go.
Hey, so besides Frisco, last year in the Texas League, what was in Double A? What was your favorite place to play? Who had a really nice one?
I really liked Springfield. Their mound just felt like
a big league mound. I lost you guys. Did you hit you?
I didn't hit shit.
Are you there?
Yeah.
He's right here.
I found this on the web for Massage Frisco last year in the Texas League. What was it in AA? What was your favorite?
It's reading. It's doing something.
Okay, there it is. It's gone. Is that it?
I don't know what happened. Did I hit something? Okay, so let's go back to that. What was your favorite place to play on the road?
Springfield. Springfield was my favorite. The mound just felt like a big league mound. I love the places on the road where we could walk to the park instead of take a bus. And that was one of them. And the little town around it was pretty cool, too.
We had Blaine Krim on, and he said Amarillo. I'd imagine that Amarillo was the place you hated the most.
Yeah, Amarillo. Pitchers don't love Amarillo. It's a cool park, like, cool environment. The crowd gets into it. But, yeah, the weather there and the way the ball flies, it's another level there.
Do you know what a sod poodle is?
No.
It's a prairie dog or a ground dog.
Prairie dog.
Yeah. Are those synonymous?
Yeah, they're the same.
Prairie dog.
They run around that area too. My family's got farmland out that way. All right, last one. We're going to let you get out of here, man. We can't thank you enough for sitting down with us. On a day you're pitching, so normally a start's going to be somewhere around 7:05, maybe 7:30, depending on where you are. What is your routine? When you get up, what time are you getting up? What are you eating? What time you get to the park? What's your routine on the day you're starting?
Yeah, so, I mean, rest is obviously huge. Last year, I would sleep late. Last year, the whole night game thing was pretty new to me because back in college, Kumar was pitching on the Fridays and Saturdays, usually because of TV stuff. We were 11 a.m. or 1 p.m. And so it's a lot of time in the day. You know, you just want to get going. You want to get there and do your thing. So I would sleep a lot of the day. So I would sleep in, but I think, like I said earlier, this is that's going to be a little bit of an adjustment this year. I'm going to try to get up and get a meal in me and then maybe get back to resting a little bit. But up until then, you could watch some video on the other hitters. And then besides that, it's really just, you know, keep your mind busy, watch a movie, go for a walk, whatever it is. Go out to eat breakfast, lunch, brunch, whatever it is. And then, and then you get to the park and that's about whatever it might be. 3 hours before first pitch, and you sort of go through. I don't want to bore you with the details of all my stretches and that part of the routine, but you roll out, and then you get into your stretches, and maybe jump in the hot tub and just stay loose, and then get ready to go for 7:05 first pitch.
So you hit a roller. You will roll.
I'll roll out. You know, it's just like sort of a mindless thing to loosen up the muscles. I don't like live or die by it, but that, and then into some static stretching, and then you get going as it gets closer to game time, and then you have your weighted balls, a little body blade, and you have your bands, and then some sprints, some skips that I do, little like jumps just to wake up the central nervous system, and then you're ready to go. You play catch and get off the mound.
Do you stretch like your legs more than anything? Or, I mean, I'm sure your arm gets a lot of attention, but
yeah, definitely a lot of legs. And actually the timing of it is something that another small adjustment that I'm looking into this year. I've always just been a quick mover before the game, and I think spreading it out a little more. I talked to my cousin about that, who's he's with the Cubs, also a pitcher, Mark Leiter Jr. And he just went through his routine, and it's more spread out. I like to typically in the past have liked to squeeze that in, but I'm looking for ways to, you know, be more on point for my first inning from the first pitch, because first inning last year was one of the things that I flagged down is what I want to be better at this year.
All right. Yeah. Hey, Jeff, you got anything else? Are we going to,
I didn't ask this earlier, but the Maddoxes are in camp. Have you had what is it like working with Mike and then knowing that, a Hall of Famer is right there, somebody your dad competed against? What is that like?
No, it's awesome. I mean, the respect that all the guys in that clubhouse have for them is obviously as high as you can get. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. And their sense of humor has been pretty obvious too, which is really cool. Greg Maddux, as I was getting on the mound today, he said, hey, next time you talk to your dad, tell him I didn't say hi. but no, to have that, like that bank of, you know, knowledge to hopefully get something from is awesome.
Mike made his 10th hole in one the other day. And I'd be telling everybody too. Greg has 6. So the one area where Mike has outperformed his brother is in holes in ones. But 16, yeah, 10. Yeah, he just hit it the other day at I guess Sterling Grove.
That's ridiculous.
As many, hole in ones as gold gloves.
That's right. Combined gold gloves, 18, all won by Greg.
All right, guys. All right,
what's gonna matter here?
Yeah, man. Hey, Jack, thanks again. This is the second time to come on. It's so much fun having you on here. Good luck this season. We'll probably see you around there. I'll be back out there in March, so we'll come out and say hi. But really appreciate you stopping down and coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Jack Leiter, right-handed pitcher for the Texas Rangers. When we come back, we're going to go down on the bus lane, guys. Thanks to Jack Leiter for stopping down and talking with us. It was nice of him to come in there and talk. So, Jeff, now it is time to go down in the bus leagues. So let's go down in the bus leagues and talk about, tell me some of the guys you've been around here now for 3 or 4 days. They're minor leaguers, not the position players haven't necessarily reported, but I know you're seeing a lot of guys there. Who do you want to talk about?
Well, there are a lot of position players here. The guys who are either non-roster invitees or we're on the 40-man roster, for example, Dustin Harris is here. Justin Foscue is here. Jonathan Ornelas, who lives 15 minutes away, is here. So there's a growing group of guys who are here. That's just in the big league clubhouse. I've seen Davis Wenzel and Chris Cease and a good chunk of young minor league position players who are in camp. And there are some minor league pitchers who are in camp, too. You know, Mitch Bratt, who is pitching for Team Canada, is here. Dane Acker is here. So it's a good group of guys who are not in Major League camp. Now on the Major League camp side, you know, we've seen them all pitch. As Jack said, that was his second bullpen today. So it's a group of guys that are going to be the guys who you got to keep an eye on. You know, Jack Kumar Rocker, Zach Kent, Cole Wynn, who I wrote about in Friday on the Farm today, and the list goes on and on. And then there's some relievers, Mark Church and our Chase Lee. Mark Church, I told him he's got to come on the podcast. He's a great personality, 21-year-old kid. It was just really fun to talk to there in the clubhouse. So
who's got some stuff?
He's all for it. And it was pretty interesting talking to Nate Evaldi the other day. He really has seen the talent that these guys have, and he mentioned Mark Church by name, and he said that he and John Gray and Andrew Heaney were standing around watching these guys throw the other day, and Evaldi said it's a good thing we're established because these guys are really, really good.
That's good news to hear right there, that's for sure.
Yeah it is. It's really good news. And you know, if a guy who's won a World Series can see the talent, then I think that's a pretty good assessment right there.
Well, here's a question. You know, you said that Mitch Bratt was there and people. Now, this is going to be a question for me too that I didn't know. When they say pitchers and catchers report, that was who was reporting this week, pitchers and catchers. I thought it was throughout the organization. It's only the big league pitchers and catchers that are supposed to report.
That's right. Now, okay. You know, when the way that Cactus League's games work, there will be minor leaguers who are here ahead of the start of fall camp, or I'm sorry, of their spring camp, which starts May 7th, I believe.
March 7th.
I've got spring fever, I guess. But
yeah.
Yeah, so March 6th or March 7th, right before you and I get here, John, and then they'll go through interleague games. But there are guys who are here to serve as JICs, which stands for just in case players who come into games early in Cactus League. You know, the starters aren't going to go, the starting lineup, the batting lineup, they're not going to play more than three innings.
You know, right.
The pitchers are only going to go an inning, maybe two at the most. And so as they get eliminated, as you run through pitchers, or as they hit their pitch count and you need somebody to come in to finish the inning, that's where a JIC comes in. So at the end of these games, the last couple innings, it's going to be guys who you've heard of, but they're not guys that fans come to see. You know, they're the guys who are in AA and AAA and even lower than that last year. So there's going to be a good number of them here. But, you know, by the time minor league camp rolls around, there's going to be around 185 players between the two camps. So it's going to be pretty intense.
And guys, look, we've said it over and over, and if you're watching this, if you guys can do anything, you want to go out and see some of these guys, go to spring training. It's such a great time to do that. Again, we're going to be out there March 8th through the 13th. Jeff and I will be rolling around there. Would love to meet you doing that. Hey, you're going to have to message us and let us know you're there. Because we'll try to find you, but we do want to see you, that's for sure. So let us know. Jeff, anybody else before we get out of here that you wanted to talk about? They're just now kind of getting going. There were no games. There were no anything happening right now. But besides Jack, who we had on to talk, anything before we go?
Well, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that left-hander Avery Weems underwent Tommy John surgery this week. Yeah. And did it in Arlington, and from what I understand, you know, the Rangers had a pitching mini camp in January, and it was around that time when Avery's elbow started to bark, and it apparently was a pretty cut and dried situation. It wasn't like a TK Roby where there's an opportunity to maybe try to rehab it, you know, right. Rest and rehab. This seemed apparently pretty much a no brainer. So
he had surgery.
It's too bad because he was a non-roster invitee. He was at AA last season. You're not sure if he's going to start or be a reliever, but he was a guy that the Rangers wanted to see in this situation. So unfortunate, but he'll probably be back by next May or June. But he's got a long road ahead of him.
Is he around there? Have you seen him?
He's not. He just had the surgery the other day. Typically, they will dive into the rehab pretty quick. I would expect that he's here at some point this spring when they transition into the monotony of it all, and he'll have on a red shirt. And I doubt he'll even be on the field though, because he'll still be probably in that giant arm brace that those Tommy John guys have. So unfortunate. You know, we talked to him last year. Super nice guy, very conversational. He had a spot in camp and was going to get some pretty good experience.
Yeah, that was tough to hear. A friend of the show also. So just really tough to hear. We hate to hear that on anybody. But Avery, you know, we're here. We'll you know, anytime during that, if you want to come down and just shoot the, you know what, we'll do it with you for sure, because certainly he'll do that. It's tough to see that, but we know Avery, there's good, always some good luck come out of this, hopefully. And when you come out of it, well, is that it? Are we done?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know, we haven't had any games yet. Those will start on the 24th. You'll see everybody in camp at some point, get to do something. And, so it's about to be an exciting time. You know, I think it's, you know, by the time our next episode airs, full Major League camp will have started, and
sure.
All the guys will be here, and it'll be hopefully a quick 5 or 6 weeks to get to opening day.
Yep. Well, like we said, guys, at the beginning of the show, this is the Premier Property Spring Training Edition that's going to be going on from here on out. Well, I'll just touch on it real quick. Remember spring training? I read the whole thing at the beginning of the show. If you want to get in touch, you have any real estate needs, whether it's buying, selling, leasing, or you just need somebody to manage your property for you, it's swdallasrealty.com. That's SW like Southwest, dallasrealty.com. Or you can call them at 972-298-4000. Again, thanks to Premier Properties for sponsoring this. Jeff from the first spring training edition, they're in spring training. And guys, until next time, we'll see you at the yard.
Roxo Media House.